Hi, Deborah.
Hey, hello.
Hey, good to see you. I didn't know you were coming. Yay, I'm glad you're here. Yay, yay. How's your day been going?
Rocking and rolling. It's kind of how it goes these days.
Yeah, I know. I know. You are a busy woman. You got your hands in a lot of pies, as far as I
Yeah, they're tasty though.
Well, and that's when they're tasty, then it's like it's all good, right?
Yeah, as long as you don't eat too much.
Right. Hi, Leon. Hi, Marcy. Hi, Valencia.
Hey,
Hey, hello. Hello. Hello, Lisa. Hi, we'll see who's coming in. All right. Oh, I'm just gonna. It's been a long day for me, it's all good. Like you said, Deborah, when it's tasty, it's all good, right? Yeah. All right. So, hello, Sija. Do I have that right? Sija, did I say it correctly? Yeah. Good. Welcome,
I'm there, muted. Seja.
Sija. Okay. Hi, Sija.
Did
Glad
I
you.
sign in the wrong way?
No, I
No?
just want to make sure I'm saying your name the right way.
Oh, thank you, Maggie.
You know how that is, right? It's like I do my best, but I don't know that I always get it right. You
Thank
know.
you.
Yeah. Good. Well, the purpose of this session is for us to kind of get to debrief a bit and integrate from our day and respond to questions if they come up, but also just to have some sharing and connecting, and we'll see how it rolls as people coming in over the next few minutes, because that's usually how it goes. It's really funny with webinars, with like meetings, and people don't want to be the first ones in. It's like it's going to be, all the presenters, we're all here. We're like, oh yeah, we're all over it. So I'm glad that you've come and joined. And I'd actually love to hear from some of the presenters about how this has been for you. I do want to hear it from you guys too, but I just thought it would be fun. But we could, if anybody is ready to just kind of wanting or willing to jump in, but I also just want to, I'm curious because I know, Valencia, you've been in some of the other sessions in addition to yours, and Marcy, you too. Deborah, I don't know about you, but just kind of getting a sense of the flavor of how things are going and what's emerging. There's Barbara. Hi, Barbara. And I think we need to give some kind of award to Leon. You're in Scotland. I had it wrong. You were saying you were in Scotland. She's in Scotland. I don't even know, like, what time is it there? It's like 2 a.m. or something crazy, like, or is it midnight?
No, it's 12.
It's midnight.
It's
Okay. All
12.
right.
So, according to Valencia, I should well be in bed, which I normally would be.
If you don't want to mess up your circadian rhythms, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
Hi, Ava.
that's
Welcome. Yeah. No, I know. It's like, it's an interesting thing having the technology that allows us to live a 24/7 life, right? And I think sometimes we don't even realize what it's doing to us. So I just want to see, who would like to jump in and kind of get us started and wanting or willing to share about your experience from today. Any questions, takeaways, confusions, desires? Yeah. Hi, Diana. Hi.
Hi, Diana.
I can start.
Okay, great. Thanks, Valencia.
I really like how it's live. And I read the comments in Slack, how other women appreciated that it was live. And then, you've done a great, fantastic job, at everything, organizing. The Slack is a great way to, ask questions so people have access to ask questions afterwards and to interact with each other, as well. And, some people couldn't get, I have patients and clients, and I'm in a conference that I've been missing most of it, but I need to blend that in. So during the day, sometimes it's not accessible to be there, but it's good to know there's the recording, and then you can always purchase the recording, as well. So it's a great mix of conversation of different healing modalities and different ideals. And I think that's what we obviously are at a junction in time here, or in our world in general, where the old is dying away, and we need to get some new paradigms in here. So I think it's a great forum to start that conversation.
Thank you. I'm hoping that we started getting some more traction with Slack. I hope we'll get more. I think that, both this session and the Slack support is new for people. And so they're like, oh, it's not how this usually goes. Is that for me? Or, it's interesting when you do something new. Sometimes it takes a little while, and we're kind of on a short time frame in terms of getting people engaged, but I will leave it up for a while. And we do have recordings every night. If I don't know if all of you know that, but from 6 to 8 a.m., the recordings are up. And then, there are definitely people more and more, getting the recordings. So we'll see how it all continues. Great. Okay. Who else would like to jump in here? Yeah, Marcy.
I can speak. I was very excited and enlivened, actually, by just being with you, Maggie, and watching the people involved in the chat, and some of which I knew well, and some of which were, my sister was on there. And so that was really delightful for me. And I wanted to share that right before I got on, I was, or this morning, whenever it was, I saw that Amanda Gorman had just put out another poem about women, and it's called We Rise, which is, I know Angela, Maya Lou said that. I said that wrong. I'm sorry.
Maya Angelou. I have these little dyslexic things that happen with me sometimes.
Apparently.
Where I put, so Maya Angelou.
But she,
I know who you meant, but.
Thank you. And of course, she recorded it, reading it, and it felt like it was just a big exclamation point to what you were putting together here. That it's up to the women, and there's a part of me that's sad, and I really want all the people to get their act together, and all of us to support each other in being treated with dignity and respect. But her poem is beautiful, and of course, it's amazing to watch her read or listen to her read. And I'm really enlivened by listening to the others of you. I only had the chance to listen to Eva. Is it Eva or Ava? Yeah, Ava. You say
it's Eva.
Eva. Yes, Eva. My granddaughter's Eva, and I loved how the listening skills that we do at the Human Awareness Institute, as we teach those things, they're just like in really excellent alignment. It's like, yep, that's what the world needs. So I'm looking forward to listening to some of the other ones that I missed this morning. And apologies for popping in, Maggie. My links were doing the wrong thing. So if I interrupted any of you, I just want to apologize for that.
It's fine. We're working out the technology because I didn't know, and apparently people on my team didn't know, if we gave somebody who had a presenter link the link to be a participant, Zoom says, oh no, you're not a participant, you're a panelist, even though you have a different link, because your email tells me so. So we're
I figured it out now.
Learning curve with that. It was like, oh, really? Yeah. So I'm sorry, because I think you came into Desta's, right? And you wanted to hear
Deborah.
So
and Deborah's too. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry bothering you all.
Yeah. No, it was, it's all good. It's all good. It's like what I was saying before. We just need to be kind to each other. as we're all, you know, exploring these things. And I can, I won't do it for tonight, but, you know, before we have a final version of the videos, I'll just edit the kind of, those kind of things out, and it's not a big deal. So, but yeah. Great. Yeah. And I actually, I'm going to save this to, as a conversation starter. I just want, you know, we'll see, but the, I want to just say hello to Larissa and Michelle who've come on. Hi. And so I just want to have it open for whoever would like to share a little bit, and please, you know, seize your power, speak from your pelvic bowl, and express yourself. we want to hear from you. And then I, you know, I do have a couple of ideas for things we can discuss if we want to go that route. Yeah, Lisa, you want to? Yeah. Oh, and then Seja. Yeah. We could go either way. Which one of you wants to go first?
Oh, I've unmuted, so I'll also have you. You go first, Seja.
Oh, well, thank you. I think I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was just on for the last two sessions, and Eva was talking about, as one of the pillars of her listening, of her generosity in listening, the fact that inquiry allows for creativity in growth or creative growth opportunities. And then Maggie, you added something to the effect that you maybe had an additional point to your listening background. And I liked I'm coming from a high active listening background, that by allowing it to stop with the inquiry, then the other person is directing or will be reaching for the next statement. And that sounded creative to me. And I didn't know if I was hearing it correctly or where that, you know, if people want to say more about creativity or if I misunderstood your point about a fifth step in your listening.
Gotta unmute myself. There I am. I'm sorry, I'm not on my my regular desktop. So it's like, where are things not here? So can you help me understand what your question is? Because I was following it and then I got a little bit lost when you said something about creativity. So I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're asking.
I heard you saying that the step of inquiry, where you use questions to deepen and stimulate creative thinking, was your fourth step. And I liked what that spoke to me because it sounded like that was inviting the other person to come up with their own answers, I guess is where I might be going with that, or what would be one possibility. And I wondered if Maggie, or if Maggie's comment about a fifth step for in her own process was,
which Ava didn't hear, so she doesn't know what that is. So it's kind of not relevant. I don't know. Maybe you think it's, I don't want to say it's, you might find it relevant, but just to say to Ava, I mean, she didn't hear the thing that I said. So
I hear. I get. I understand. Okay. Thank you. Well, anyway, I appreciated that point of view or that possibility that inquiry offered, and thank you for that.
Oh, of course, of course. And now I'm curious as to Maggie's fifth step.
well, what I
tell
just
me more about that.
Well, I will, and it's just kind of what I did when we were role playing was that I said that I went another step to be like, what could I feel or discern was another step in what you might have been experiencing. And so when I do that with someone, like, I don't want to project onto you, right? Mm-hmm. And say, okay, I'm projecting my perspective. But I also know that with empathy, part of what we do is try to understand and go into a deeper level than maybe what somebody expressed, but always also to check it out and say, this might not be accurate at all. right? Mm-hmm. But this is kind of what I'm guessing, which is kind of an NVC thing. Advanced NVC does that. They go to another level mm-hmm. where they're like, I'm imagining that this is what this was like for you. I'm imagining based on what you shared, this is kind of what I'm getting. Is that accurate? Is that true? And sometimes people will be like, no, actually, that's not it. And sometimes what happens is you can actually give voice to something that somebody else hasn't quite been able to articulate yet. Mm-hmm. And it helps them to be able to do that. So that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. And it does sound like that would be kind of the next level when you're getting more into the discussion and more of the back and forth of sharing in what people are in discussion about. And but for the purpose of the framework that I laid out, mm-hmm. you know, you want to make the habit of really listening in a way that has the other person feeling seen, heard, and respected. That was the whole point of it. And then, you know, of course, as we're in our practice of our coaching and our medical practices, our healing practices, our spiritual practices, and in one-on-one relationship with our clients and our followers and our communities, there already is a lot of times that level of safety. But, you know, what prompted me to go deeper into this, if I may, is when the George Floyd murder sparked the uprising that it did last year, I found that there were a lot of people shooting on Black people. And what I mean by shooting, well, you should say this and you should say it this way. And the honoring of the pain that we were experiencing was not being, you know, it wasn't being presenced. And it was being like, okay, well, if you feel this way, you should do this. And, you know, we can go on and on about that. And I feel that it was a proverbial knee on the necks of Black women, because I saw a lot of Black women speaking up more, which is why, you know, the panel Maggie referenced was, I was like, okay, it's time for us to speak and be heard, because I realized that my voice was unleashed. I had not been using my voice in the space forever. And, you know, I was playing safe and playing small like I always do. And it was an opportunity to say, hey, can you listen to our experience and what we're sharing? Because here's the thing about empathy where it gets tricky when it comes to our cultural differences. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can imagine, but you can't. You know, as a little girl, you know, I can imagine what it would feel like to be white and not always stand out and not be always, you know, the proverbial fly in the buttermilk in the experiences I was having. But I would never know what that feels like, because skin color is something that I can't change. The only person I know who could change that was Michael Jackson. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. But my point is, just to have an acknowledgement like, wow, I can understand how hard that might be for you. Or, you know, I feel your pain in what you're saying there. Then you're acknowledging the other person's experience without having to compare it to anything you've experienced. And a lot of times in our listening, we still want to make it about us. You know, I feel this. I feel what you're saying. And it kind of takes you out of making that other person feel seen, heard, and respected. And I hope that made sense the way I explained it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah. But I'm just curious, Sarah, with the creativity part, because you were mm-hmm. curious about that. What I heard Ava say was, something like, when you do that, it helps to move the conversation forward. I believe that those were the words that you
exactly.
used. Right? It was to move it forward, like to create some movement. Whereas with the other type of communication, it's like things don't move, right? It's like, yeah. So is that what you were thinking, Seja, about the creative moment, was the moving thing forward with the questions?
Almost, but not quite.
Okay.
Yes. The difference is I come from a kind of a phenomenological background, and I feel like people contain their own answers. And I can't, I don't always remember this either, but I know I don't have somebody else's answers, as simple as that might seem, to see what their next step should be. Mm-hmm. So I need to train myself better to be quiet and listen for them to provide their own next answer or their own next step or whatever that aha next thing is that maybe they haven't quite reached themselves. I can't supply it, only they can supply that. And so I kind of heard in her using the word creativity, that stimulate creative thinking, that would help that person to reach deep by simply inquiring and then being quiet so the person can hear their own answer. I was reading into it perhaps.
Yeah. May I add to that? Sage, sure. Is that how I say your name? Did I say
yes.
That correctly?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I love what you're sharing here, is to really be in, you know, when you ask a powerful question and really being the listening. And a lot of times what ends up happening is you're asking more powerful questions, you know, like and what else? And what else needs to be done? And as you ask more powerful questions in the line of work that you do, and a lot of line of work a lot of people do, is it stimulates the conversation so that your client has an aha moment, because your questioning is opening up thought processes and ideas and thought bubbles that were stimulated by your questions, by being in the inquiry. That's why they need to be open-ended, not kind of yes and no, because it kind of stops it and halts the creativity process, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of times in my sessions, you know, I'll keep asking, you know, and what's next and what else could be done? Okay, is there anything else? And you just keep moving, what else could be done, what else? And then all of a sudden they come up with their own ahas, with helping me, like, wow, you ask really good questions.
Well, it invites a deeper layer to be revealed.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, and it's powerful. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, Lisa, do you want to share?
Mm-hmm. I can.
I think Lisa was next.
Oh, okay.
She had wanted to share before, and then you, Deborah. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maggie. I just wanted to share a bit about my experience of the conference and some gratitude as well, because really I'm very grateful to be here and to be part of this group. So like a lot of people, I'm sure it's been really quite lonely and isolated over the last couple of years, and perhaps even more so for me, because about a year ago today, I moved over here from Australia to be with my partner, because we've been separated by COVID for so long. And I thought I was only going to be here for 4 to 6 months while we got visas sorted out and were able to see each other freely. But of course, it hasn't happened like that. So I've actually been here alone, apart from seeing him, for a year, and I've been powerfully missing my daughters and my women friends and my group of people in Australia. So just to say, really, the connection that we've had, I have not really enjoyed, it's been the only thing I've had, but connecting with people via Zoom hasn't been what I really wanted, you know, as I'm sure you understand that. But I have felt with this conference, it has been really different. And, you know, the fact that I'm sitting here, right, talking to the presenters, you know, you wouldn't be able to do that in a live conference. And, you know, I know some of you, I've attended a high workshop that you were facilitating, Marcy. And I have received Deborah's lovely Saturday night events while I was in Australia, and I, you know, I didn't even know you were going to be here, and now here you are, I'm sitting in the room with you, and I've so much enjoyed, I've watched every single session so far. I really didn't think I would, but every single woman has had amazing, amazing presence, amazing information, and I have felt really connected to all of the themes. So I just wanted to let you know that, you know, how you are affecting individuals, because, you know, when you're presenting, you just, I know this, I work online myself and I'm just presenting, and I want to hear how it's landing for people. So I thought you might want to hear that it's really made me feel amazing, you know, connected, mm-hmm. and, you know, not so isolated. But as a subsequent to that, just to finish off really, is that I now want more connection. And I'm left feeling like, well, what next? You know, this is great. I've heard a lot of amazing things. I'd love to know some of the other participants, the other people watching the conference, who they are. Love to hear more from you, who you're here today. But I want to continue those connections. You know, I want to use this pathway that you're opening up, Maggie, for, you know, how we can connect to evolve our world more, how we can collaborate more, how we can create these communities. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'd just love to hear from anybody about those things. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Can I ask you a question, Lisa?
Sure.
So I would love to hear from you and from anybody else who might be feeling similar to her, is just, what do you think what is it about how the conference is created or curated or put together that is helping you feel that way compared to other things you may have been participating in? Because it seems like we're all living on Zoom like these days, like whether that's like in one-on-one sessions or classes or whatever, you know, meetings, like it's like so it's pretty ubiquitous, like the Zoom life, as it were. And what I'm hearing you say is that this feels qualitatively different to you in some way. And I saw that your comment in Slack also about that, which I really appreciated receiving. Thank you. But I'm curious from your experience, what it is that, if you can identify it, because when you say, can we have more of that? I'm actually very interested in creating more of that. And part of what's going to help me be able to do that is to know what's really working. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? Because I have my own experience and my own ideas and, you know, I can run with that, but it's just me. Right. And so I don't know from the participant side what that is. And also the presenters have things to say about that too. Yeah,
that's a really good question, Maggie. I'll just give you my response of what I intuitively feel, and I'd really like to hear how it is for the other participants. But I know the day before the conference, you know, it's normal. We get all these emails, we get these reminders, you know, join Slack or whatever. And to me, I was like, oh, it's going to be such a lot of work. I'm going to have to join Slack. I'm going to have to sit and watch the computer all day. I'm never going to be able to do it, you know. And it was like, I didn't really want to. But then on the first day, I got up and I thought, oh, well, while I'm having my breakfast, I'll just watch this introduction and see how it goes. And I think it must be the energy that your personalities, you know, first of all, yours, Maggie, that encouraged me to watch more. And then every single person that came on, and the conversations with you, the fact that you did it in a conversational style rather than people just presenting, it really felt like, you know, we were just having a coffee, you know, we were just in my living room and you were there chatting away. And I just left it on all day while I was pottering around doing my thing, rather than having to, you know, get dressed up and present myself. I like the fact that we didn't have to be seen, actually. I like that we could just chat and we could be in our pajamas or whatever. But it's also lovely to have this opportunity to be seen as well. So yeah, that's my,
okay. Thank you. Yeah. And if anybody has anything to share, you know, now or later, shoot me an email, put it in Slack, because, you know, I am interested in how to create and how to continue it. And just so all of you know, I am exploring what those next steps are going to be. So you'll hear more about that.
Well, Maggie, in chat, there is, Michelle made a comment up that you, I don't know if you know, there's chat going on over here. Mm-hmm. And Donna
I think Donna Scott must have her camera off because we're not seeing her, because if your camera's off, that's tuned out.
There you go.
So she had her camera off. That's fine.
But Michelle made a comment to your question.
Thank you. Michelle, would you like to share? Hi, Michelle. It's good to see you, honey.
Okay. Hi. Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Maggie, and the presenters and everybody who's sharing. This has been such a cool, I went to sleep with Barbara and Diana last night and everybody. I really loved hearing all of your wisdom. I'm so inspired by everybody. And what I really feel like what's happened with this, and I've been on so many conferences, and that I do feel like there's such an intentional, you do care what I have to share. I really feel like there's a sincerity about it, Maggie. And even hearing Valencia's response to I've suffered for so many years with such horrible hot flashes that I feel like nobody really understands what that is, every hour to feel like you're burning from the inside out and how disruptive it can be. And then the worry I feel about just being on HRTs and reading about how I'm going to die of a blood clot or heart attack or cancer if I'm not off this by 60, and I've tried to go off a few times, but I have the hot flashes right away. And it was just so good to hear, you know, to hear what you had to say about that. And that was such a huge shift. And from yesterday, I went from Zenovir really triggered some fear in me for the world and for safety and for my family. And I know I've taken recently a course with Maggie, and it was just wonderful, and how to work through that fear using human design. And it triggered so much of that back. But then listening to all the ladies, you know, all the women and all the wisdom, and being able to be emotional about it, because I've worked in such a male dominated career I've just recently retired, and I grew up with six brothers, and I've shared this, but you don't show your feelings, and your feelings don't, you're being emotional. And so I was never able to be that. And so now I'm retired, and I thought, I can't wait for solitude. But it's not solitude that I need, it's community of women that I just really, it really struck me so at such a deep level, because I don't have that. I have sister-in-laws, and I have some friends who are usually my hairdresser and my nail person, and my massage therapist. Those are my people. I've realized they could do my eulogy at my funeral because they know me more than a lot of people. But I've never developed a community of women, and so I really felt a deep sadness about that at 58 years old. But I'm also, I feel so inspired by all of you to do that. I'm doing human design readings now, and I'm creating space for women and listening. And I loved Eva's session today too, and listening to that and how we create space for people and intentional listening. And I see what the response is from women when I'm doing the human design readings, just, you know, basic information or basic foundational reading, but because I'm new. But there's tears, and we laugh, and I'm connecting with them, and I'm just kind of putting myself out there for the first time in that way. But anyway, I just I don't want to take any more time, but I just appreciate all of you so much, and what I've learned from Maggie and Deborah. I could have listened to you all day today. I loved hearing your wisdom, and I downloaded your ebook, and I'm excited to get into that. But thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. I think that you're on the cusp of a whole nother life. You're really moving into a whole nother life. You know, you heard me talk yesterday about how, you know, the ego death, right? And then when that happens and the old self and the old life breaks apart and falls away, something else is coming out. And I think that's right where you are, you know, and I think it's beautiful. It can be scary and it can be confusing, but But it's great. I think you have a lot ahead of you. And I wouldn't be surprised if you became a human design specialist, because you're just taking to it like a fish to water. And you're obviously being sought out by people to do it. So that's always a good sign too. Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. So Deborah, I think you're a total perfect segue.
Sure. Community of women. So great to meet you and connect with you all. I didn't get a chance to listen to you all, but I just love when women gather and share their wisdom. It's the most powerful thing on the planet, really, because the women are the new leaders. The divine feminine is coming back. We're taking our power. And we're kicking ass in so many ways. So this kind of event is so important because it does remind people of that. All the people that joined. And for me, the big aha was, I have a book, Activate Your Soul Tribe, that I published in 2019. And then 2020 came and I started Saturday Night Alive for the Global Peace Tribe. So that kind of went on the back burner. And it was really beautiful to have that come out with Maggie's pillar of collaboration and see it in the light of everything we've learned in the last year and a half, everything that has been opened up for us, because it's been a challenging time, but a very activating time. And for me, collaboration and working together has been high on the list. And I've watched people all over globally come together that would have never met each other and say, okay, this is the time. We got to do our stuff, whether it's ecology or spirituality or like this, women's issues. So it's been really important. And in my book, it's basically identifying soul tribes and soul family that are all interconnected by similar missions and similar values. And so it very much was great to see how this is so prominent now, and it's part of Maggie's pillars, you know, for us to follow in terms of the women's empowerment. And I definitely think women need to gather and connect. And just even having the women come back on and networking and getting to know each other and putting the women in breakout rooms. So they're not only listening to the panelists, but they're listening to each other, because every woman has a wealth of wisdom in their reality of what they're going through and what they're seeing. I mean, women are so wise in so many ways. So allowing the women, all the women, to share from their hearts, and that grounds what they know and also allows their wisdom to get connected, like ahas or new information. And sharing services and sharing what what they have to offer, because it's really great to, especially with COVID, you know, things aren't as easy unless you're just doing online for services, so women supporting each other is really great as well. So I just honor Maggie for doing what it takes to do this, because it's a lot. I'm sure we all know, if we've done any kind of online programming, there's a lot, but this is her passion, and it's been really beautiful and really good to connect with you all from all over the world, wherever you're from. I'm in Northern California in the wine country with Maggie. She's part of my community in Sevastopol, so that's how I know her.
Yeah, we live like half a mile from each other or something.
Yeah, we dance all the time together. That's our superpower is dancing.
I wish we were having more of it, but
Yeah, there's a little
COVID has made it. That's been the hardest thing for me with COVID, is not dancing together the same way. Mm-hmm. But Deborah, you stimulated, did you feel complete? You stimulated something I wanted to ask people.
Sure.
Okay, good. I want to invite everybody. There is a channel in Slack called Networking. And I would encourage you to go in and share, and this is for presenters too, to go in and share about your work in the world. Like, just so that we can start networking with each other, and people can get, because, you know, even with presenters, you've come and you've given this piece, right, of what you do, but who you are and what you do is, you know, bigger than that. So, but for everybody else, because I also think that could help to stimulate collaborations, different things that could emerge out of this. And that was part of it, was to be able to help the presenters connect with each other, but also participants, so that it's not so, it's not so top down. that we have more of a horizontal way of communicating with each other. And so I encourage you to take advantage of that. And the thing is if some of us go in then and start that, other people will come in. You know what I mean? It just always takes some people to seed the process. So, you know, then I think you can just, that you can do that. I would appreciate that. Okay. All right. So who else? Was there a question? Valencia, was there a question?
Donna had a question at the top.
Okay. Donna, do you want to share what you wrote or do you want me to read it? I can read it if you want, or do you want to just share it since you came on camera?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, our internet, I'm in Australia and our internet's been really bad the last 24 hours. So I thought I'd type it just in case. Hello, everyone. Thank you for everything.
We can hear you. You're a little glitchy in terms of the video, sorry. But it's okay. And if you need to turn your video off so that it's not powering your internet so much, we can do that too. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Okay. So if you can hear me, otherwise I will turn that off. I have just been in a very, what I call patriarchal system. I was in for a short time, but enough, in the film industry and video production. And I was in the role of producer and director and writer. I am a very collaborative person, and that created a lot of issues in that industry. And in a very short span of time, that industry just got shut off to me. And so I'm exploring something that I was doing a long time ago, which is coaching and being an author. I'm studying counseling. I'm studying card reading again. And for me, that's very feminine, very yin. And I'm just trying, I've realized the divide inside of me between my yang and my yin. And I was a single mum for 21 years. And so I've had to be both the mum and the dad that whole time. But for me, they're still very separate. And I'm finding that an issue moving forward. I'm trying to work on how to find my strength in my feminine rather than jump straight into the masculine side of me. And I was wondering if anyone could speak to that. Valencia did mention that she had some things to say about that. Thank you.
Yeah, if anybody else wants to, you know, I'll just take a couple minutes because this is like a divine focus that I'm, you know, guiding and being guided into, you know, the future, because it's been such a part of my life. And speaking of human design, you know, I have the most yin and the most yang gate, you know, in my chart and in my gene keys. I'm a 2-6. So that tells you about yin and teacher, right? And I have 1-6 in another place in gene keys, but you know, they're connected, gene keys, human design. My radiance is 1-6. So here's the thing. It's like, you could think of it as like, we're going to me into this place of sovereignty within community. It's both and, it's not either or. And so it's going to take some mindset shifting, you know, to come out of this either or thinking, which is left brain dominant. And it's been my experience. You know, I was an eye surgeon. I was a cornea transplant surgeon. You want to talk about being in a, you know, very, yeah, going through medical school is like going to the military on steroids, especially when I did it back in the 1980s. And so I have 4 brothers. You know, I was in a misogynistic, you know, fundamentalist household. And I had a very sensitive heart. I have a lot of numbers in my chart that's dominant feminine, but you would never know it if you knew me then, because I, you know, even the big boys in medical school generally did not mess with me. Okay. So I never had those kinds of issues because I grew up with 4 brothers on top of it. So the point is that it took a desire. And I did it at a time when the world wasn't paying attention, meaning it was lonely, it was isolated in a lot of ways, but it's made me masterful around a lot of things as far as emotions and opening the heart again and healing at an emotional level, It's not an intellectual endeavor. And I think that all of it works together around this yin yang in that they're totally not separate. You know, our left brain has this masculine quality in metaphor form, the right has this feminine quality. But frankly, the way we even define gender and woman and man in society doesn't leave a lot of room for personal sovereignty, because I can be super gentle and nice, and I could be a don't mess with me, okay? And I'm not trying to get rid of my parts, you know, so to speak, but I had to do a lot of decades, frankly, of shadow work. And now I sense intuitively, because I got my intuition back in a big way, and I'm always developing that now. I'm not just stuck in my left brain. I'm back into art, and I'm back into a lot of the things I started out in life with. I really feel that we are really going into the age with this sovereignty. That means personal responsibility. And if we're going to be in community, that also means that there is this movement of, in order to heal so that we can be present, and we can, you all were talking about hearing and listening, and you know, people have pain and this, that, and the other. What I know for sure, you know, into the bone, is that we are going to have to ultimately, and we can be leaders in this by example, to deal with our own triggers so that other people aren't walking on eggshells, for us to be comfortable. And I also have some really heavy, you know, human design numbers around a teacher of forgiveness. And if you're a teacher of forgiveness, you have a hell of a lot to forgive. And I've had a hell of a lot to forgive, and I did it. And it freed me, and it stopped me from being so triggerable and projecting and judging and on and on and on. So ultimately, if we can start to look at our own shadows and start to, with compassion, shadows are my allies. They're not bad. Making friends with feelings and understanding even that divine feminine, she's fierce when it comes to life. When it comes to protecting life, it's not a, you know, I'm not a queen behind the throne anyway. I am a partner. Oops, did I freeze? Oops,
You're okay. You're good. Yeah.
I'm a partner, right? Yeah. So we have to have our inner confidence clear. We have to have self-love. We have to, you know, at an essence level, know who we are. I feel like I'm a divine being having a human experience, and my self-esteem comes from that place, not from my title, not from how I look, not from how, you know. So we as women, and if we're going to lead, we have to lead by example. As we do this, we can heal the reactive parts of the masculine and feminine within us. And we can, you know, in our unique way, express feminine and masculine, and that's a spectrum. And go within and find out, you know, Donna, like, what is your heart guiding you? How much of this, how much of that? Being present to the situation. It's not a one size fit all formulaic. This is how feminine acts. This is how masculine acts. That's the old thing that's dying away, and we can lead it. And so I will just close like with saying Martin Luther King is my hero to this day. I was like a really young kid. I don't even know if I was 5 years old. And my dad used to play the album, and it used to electrify me as a child. This, you know, passionate speech from, to me, seemed like an old man, you know, at the time. Well, he's in his 30s at the time. And, you know, he had a dream. And I find that I somehow channel him or just feel like, yeah, you know, I have a dream. I have a dream that people can speak from their values and their heart. And we can hear even if we don't agree. And that they can be sovereign and within the community. And you have to find your own community. Everybody can't just lay down and, you know, walk on tiptoe that you're going to get, you know, offended. And that takes inner work, and that takes outer structures that do need to change. So we, you know, whoever in this group is called to get out there and change some of those structures. But it's both in. like the same thing, masculine, feminine. If your calling is to do this, you do this, but that doesn't mean you give up your assertiveness. That doesn't mean, you know, it's both and. That's the best way I can explain. It's sovereignty and community. And we're really being called to do emotional healing. I think that's the key to humanity making progress, is for us to make friends with our emotions. And that begins within. So that's what I would say.
Thank you, Valencia.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and that's one of the things Genevieve said yesterday, which is, but, you know, to paraphrase her, she said, you know, a lot of people act like their emotions are like the garnish in your meal. And actually your emotions are the meal. They are the food. They are the nourishment. Like they're the real deal. And I think I'm just going to take that away for myself to be like, oh, okay, well, so what does that actually mean for me in my life? And we do need emotional wisdom and emotional healing. And I just want to respond to one thing, and then I want to hear what other participants like might be responding to what you said, which is, for me, I named the process feminine sovereignty. I named it feminine sovereignty because for years I just called it personal sovereignty, and it was largely a personal development process. And then in the last few years, and I started to hear more people talk about sovereignty, and I realized that I never meant it to be just self-determination or autonomy, which is a lot of times how people talk about sovereignty.
Yeah, right.
Is this just right? Which to me is kind of like the white male citizen of the United States. That's who that is. Mm-hmm. And I've always presented what I was doing as an evolution from that into something else. But I realized that it, especially as more people were claiming, you know, like people who are, you know, like gun rights activists talking about their sovereignty, I was like, oh no, that's not what I mean. no, I'm not, I'm not about your ability to carry an assault rifle. You know, no, that's not really what I meant. So I called it feminine sovereignty, and then added in more about our communication, our collaboration, and our also our benevolence with all of life. Because, and that's why I named it feminine, because I was like, how do I articulate that? Like, what do you, like, how do you even, and so I don't know if feminine is really the right word. It's just the one that I grabbed onto. And I thought it was the closest thing that I could come to that could name in a short, you know, brand that could talk about that. Because to your point, Valencia, you know, community and sovereignty are often seen as the kind of opposite. I mean, Ken Wilber talks about it that way, right? Community, like they're opposite. I'm like, no, actually, sovereignty includes our awareness and our place in our community.
Exactly.
And our awareness of all of life and what we're doing, you know, and our awareness of the planet. And then I started talking about becoming sovereign stewards of our planet, and how do we evolve into becoming those people? Because, you know, I don't know that we're there yet. Like, we're maturing, we're becoming a new human. We have to develop our capacity to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, so many who are in this, you know, both presenters and participants, we're in the process of that, you know? And so, so I just wanted to state that, like, for me, it's like, I'm not one of those big divine feminine people. Like, I love those people. I'm glad that they're doing it. It's their wheelhouse. It's not really my wheelhouse. I'm not against it or anything, but it's not like a way that I really identify myself or talk about my work. But if anybody has another suggestion about what to call the sovereignty I'm talking about, you can let me know. But I'm okay with feminine for now, because I don't like the binary. I don't like the masculine feminine binary. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's kind of, I don't know. It's way more of a continuum. It's actually a circle. It's a spiral. It's not, you know, over here, over there. Like, and I think we're unraveling the binary. So anyway, so I just wanted to say that piece. Yeah. Donna, did you want to respond to what? I'm sorry. I just wanted to see if Donna wanted to respond to what Valencia said.
Sorry. Yeah. Just what you were both saying. For me, it literally feels like an ego death, which I'm finally okay with. And for me, as you said, the binary, I don't kind of always vibe with that either, but I do feel that allowing my higher self, I suppose is the best word, to step in and take control of my life rather than my ego, which clearly after 50 years I've proven I'm not doing a great job of that. So I'm happy for my higher self to step in and help me more and just be more humble and leave space for something much bigger and much more knowledgeable than my personality to direct the rest of my life. Not be a servant, but be a, you know, be a an active participant in just being more. That's sort of my response to that. And thank you both so much for what you shared. I'm gonna take it in if that's all right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Ava, did you want to respond?
Yes, I did. And first of all, Donna, thank you. Thank you for opening that container to have this discussion on. I just want to honor and appreciate you for sharing so real and vulnerably. I know I'm looking at you, but I should look at the camera so it feels like I'm looking at you. It's so challenging, right, on Zoom, to really delve into this. And it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. And thank you too, Valencia, because I so resonated with everything that you say. You know, when we are playing in the space within ourselves of our masculine and our feminine energy, how because of some of our early life experiences that have shaped our habits, patterns, belief, and behavior, it still feels like a struggle. It's not something that we are able to ease into and honor both the yin and the yang and our masculine and feminine in those spaces. And one of the things that I'd love to offer to everyone that I just created this, it's free, it's totally free. I'm not making any paid offers. The foundation of the work that I do is to really, really look at how our past is still damaging our present, so to speak, in this very space that we were talking about, how the old paradigms of what our mom told us, what our dad told us, our relationships with our brothers and our sisters, and even in school, are still so rooted deeply in us that it gives us what I call a certain relationship personality style and the subtle ways it shows up. And so I would like to invite everybody, I'll put it in the chat, and I was going to share it earlier, but you know, I didn't know if it was appropriate, but it feels right at this time. It's just the quiz on what your relationship personality style is and how the subtle ways it does show up to keep you from really realizing your full potential in ease. And that's the key, in ease, because we know we have the potential. We know it's there. We know, but you know, it seems like we're always in a fight to get to it. And so once we realize, like, oh, I still have that tendency to be afraid of people judging me for stepping into this space or that space or my power or use my voice or change careers completely or whatever it may be. And to recognize, you know, and that came from a situation that happened in my early life that so affected me deeply and created some anxiety that I built up protections for it along the way. And I know a lot of people here are more degreed than I am and do this work really on a higher level, but this is really kind of a easy way to just kind of pinpoint what that is and give you specific transformation goals so that you can move through your life, through your calling, through your passion, through your yin and your yang and your masculine and your feminine with ease, and just take all of that anxiety and pressure off of ourselves to still, you know, live a certain way, even when we're making that change, whether it's into the spiritual or the more divine or whatever, there's still a lot of pressure that women put on ourselves to do it right, to do it perfectly. And that's not necessary. It really is necessary. And it really creates that little internal conflict that we all tend to feel and wonder and judge ourselves. We're hugely, you know, I'm talking to myself. I'm hugely critical of myself. And, you know, and it kind of makes me critical of other people too, as a result of it, subconsciously, though, it's never really outwardly. So I'm going to put that link in the chat. And I, you know, I just had my assistant redesign it. So I'd love any feedback on it. So I'm really excited. It's something really new that I'm launching. So you guys get to be the first to try it out, because I've been using it like on job form, which is so boring. This is a lot more funner way. And I like, I'm all about fun. So thank you. I'll put that in the chat.
Great. Thank you.
Thank
you. Let's hear from Larissa and let's hear from some more of the participants. I just want to say it is now the top of the hour here. I'm fine to stay on for another half an hour. I don't know what everybody else's time frame is. If you're like, oh, I need to leave, please feel free to do that. Don't feel bad about leaving. It's okay. So I just wanted to name that. But I'm totally fine staying on until 5:30. My time. Okay.
I might have to leave a little before 5:30, but
okay. Yeah. So just pop out when you need to go. You can wave at us if you want or whatever.
And I need to go. So
okay. All right, Deborah. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah. All right. Larissa.
Thank you, everybody, for joining. And I'm very happy to join your conference, Maggie. I know it's a very hard work because I created my own summit last year and it was so much stress and you need people to help you. And I'm very grateful that you did a particular topic of women's health and women empowerment. And I was trained as a medical doctor as OBGYN back in Russia. And now I practice as a woman's lifestyle doctors, and I'm all about empowering women. And I believe that women can empower women and make a world a better place. So that's my message to the world. And I feel like I'm in the right space and the right community. And I think what makes conference very, I believe, successful and very feel right, that because sessions are live, and I feel the energy, because a lot of summits are recorded session, you just listen them, so you don't feel the energy. And when I listen live, even though I'm behind the camera, because I mostly listen at work, but I feel the energy when participants and presenters are live. So I think that's make it different. And I know it's very hard to do live. It's always something you think that can happen with Zoom or with technology. So I'm very appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's exactly why I wanted to do it live, because to me, it's just completely different than doing, I mean, and we did have some pre-recorded sessions and some people in other time zones are watching them tonight, but even so, I still think it's a different energy when we are, when it's live. So great. And I also want to just say hello to Julia, because I know you popped in after I said hello to everybody. So I just want to acknowledge you. I see you. Hello. And I hope that you will pop in and share however it feels right to you. If it feels right to you, don't feel any pressure at all. But I just wanted to acknowledge you. Yeah. So thanks for being here. Okay, Karen, I guess we're all starting to raise our hands. So if you want to share, why don't you raise your hand and then we'll go in that kind of an order. Okay, Karen.
Hello, everyone. I haven't done too much on Zoom. I did figure out how to raise my hand. I hope I'm looking the right place. I feel like my looking off to one side, but I'm doing my best with this technology. And yes, it's so wonderful to have it live. And Maggie, thank you so much. I tuned in yesterday morning and I've just been enthralled. I've really been just glued to my screen for almost all of the presentations yesterday and today. And so clearly, as my husband said, yeah, you really are into this. I feel like I found my tribe. I came to this conference because of Christina Rylo and her, I'm working my way through her self-love book, which has been huge for me. Really, really becoming my own best friend was overdue, and I'm making progress. I was in a little women's group and it was one of those members who was in a session with Christine who gave me the book. So I have some support, but, I feel like I'm really want to do some big things and I haven't really known where to start. I've been trained in public health as a dietitian. I've done nutrition projects. I knew I was a big project person, but the human design presentation yesterday, and I did all the homework last night, and feeling now made a lot of sense that I'm an orchestrator, and I've tried to be patient. I've gotten to be part of some really wonderful projects that I'm really proud of, but I feel like the really big thing I'm meant to do hasn't come to me yet. And I guess I just kind of still need to be patient, but everything that all the support I've gotten from all of you and Marcy, thank you so much. I move energy around, and I'm only just learning to work with that. And so what you did today was, here I am crying already.
Please, cry. Everybody cry. If it comes up, don't stifle, please.
Yeah, it's such a big part of who I am. And I'm trying to figure out how to make that all work for me. And you guys, you and the person who did the sacred bowl, she's not here.
Desda, yeah.
Yeah, Desda. And with Christine's work, which I've signed up for, I'm in one of her workshops, which is why I couldn't come yesterday, because we met last night. And so Maggie, thank you again for bringing together all these wonderful people. And Dr. Ray, even with my training in nutrition and the lifestyle piece I kind of have. Maggie, I am dancing outside, and I'll find a way to tell you what we're doing here. I'm in Berkeley, and I do Nia dance, and we're dancing outside once a week, and it's alive.
We're dancing outside too.
Are you? Great.
We are, but it's not the same.
Anyway. Okay. But even with that, Dr. Ray, I need to up my game on understanding my cortisol levels and my, how my, it's my adrenals that I still haven't figured out. And you've reminded me that there's this whole group of trained people from whom I can learn sometimes just a little bit more. Makes such a huge difference. And I guess I just have one, and Eva, I've been working through Marshall Rosenberg's nonviolent communication, and I've been practicing it. And so I know how important those steps are to have just a framework. And then this last thing you were talking about is dead on for me. And so I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. I'm going to look for that. And I guess a little question if I could put out to the group, as I'm not quite sure with all of the wonderful input that I'm working with and going to keep working with, how if you all could maybe point me a little bit. So the issue for me is that I'm getting pretty strong within myself, but when I go out into the community, that's where I lose my grounding, especially when it's going well. And I know there's lots of pieces to this, but when I put myself out there, I get really frightened. And I do okay. I'm actually a jazz singer. I can stand up in front of people and sing jazz, and I get a lot of amazingly positive feedback. It's not my calling, I've decided, but so I might give a presentation to the city council and it might go really well. And then I get really, I lose my confidence, and I have trouble then feeling, I think, fear of failure, fear of success. So you were saying, Eva, something about how we judge ourselves and it's not perfect. And I don't, not sure how much of it's me judging my own self, because even though other people are giving me positive feedback, I can't accept it. Does that make any sense?
It totally makes sense.
Totally makes sense. I had the same problem at one time.
Yeah. I mean, how many of you have ever felt that way? Yeah. Okay. So just saying.
Thank you. I feel less alone already. That's like, there's something wrong with me.
May I speak to that a little bit, Karen? Mm-hmm. No, there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
But something probably happened to you at some point that maybe you can't even pinpoint it at this point, but it left such an indelible footprint deep within that it actually sabotages how you are enjoying your life and your success and your experiences now. And that's part of the foundational work that I was speaking of earlier. I'll give you just a quick example. When I was like a preteen or an early teen, my dad told me behind a newspaper, because that's where you could find him, that's how he connected with that barrier. He said, Don't believe anyone who ever tells you you're pretty, because if they're telling you that, it's because they want one thing, especially around guys. And it had to do with, because, you know, a guy had interest in me that he didn't think was good enough for me, like probably a lot of us had our fathers do. But that stuck with me. He only said it once, more than ever. And I, to this day, if anybody compliments me, it's so difficult for me to accept a compliment. I'll make an excuse. Well, it's good lighting. Well, I just had my hair done. Well, it's makeup. You know, I can't just, it's, I can now, but for a long time, for over 50 years, I couldn't just say thank you.
Yeah.
I couldn't just say thank you, or even thank you. I know I am looking good today. My confidence was just like, it just kept coming up, and it took me, you know, doing this work with relationship styles to realize that he planted a seed that took a deep root, that even though I cut it down like weeds, the roots were still in there affecting how I was showing up. So you are just perfectly, perfectly imperfect, like we all are. Welcome to the club.
Thank you, Eva. That's really heartening. And I have done some work around it. And I, it may be because I was singled out for being a really good student starting in first grade. And in fourth grade, it was really bad. And in ninth grade, I was asked to go up on stage and I was mortified. And so from a very young age, I rejected being called out as smart because it made me different, and that was very painful. And so that may be one of them that I am exploring.
Yeah, I hear you. And thank you for sharing that. I hear that. And take the quiz, if you will, and we can really get down. I think it'll open up a little bit more insight for you to help you moving forward. And
Love it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. I just want to say one other thing. So actually a couple of things, and it sounds like Marcy wants to respond to. Yeah. So one thing, Karen, if you haven't already, a support that might be useful for you, because it seems like you're feeling it, right? It's like it's here, is to go and check out Ashana Solaris's gift of the healing yourself with breath. It's a guided clarity breathwork session. It's like 50 minutes or an hour or something like that. I've been doing clarity breathwork for, you know, almost 20 years, and Ashana and I have been friends, and she was my mentor, and then we taught together. And it's a very, very simple and yet powerful tool just to help move some of that energy. And I'm not saying it's going to be everything just to listen to a CD, but when it's up the way it is right now, like I can feel it in your body right now, right? And so when it's up, if you can breathe, you can move some of that energy. And the really cool thing about breath work is that it whatever you breathe out, it's out. Like if you breathe it out, it's gone. Like that layer is gone. It doesn't mean everything is healed necessarily. It might be. You can always hold the space for that. But whatever is right there, you breathe it out. And then you have more space inside to be able to kind of feel what's going on. And that part of you that got wounded could maybe be willing to share herself a little bit more with you. Anyway, there's a lot more work. Eva obviously does that work. I do that work. You know, like there's support, other supports for you, but I'm saying you can go and get that gift and do that tonight if you want to. Yeah. And then the other thing I just want to say is if you want to just get together with me for a few minutes, and because I have a pretty good idea of what people's work is. And like you said, can somebody help guide me? I'd be happy to do that. If you want to just spend a few minutes talking about what you need and where you might go, and you know, who of our incredible women are, you know, or something else, you know, could be a support for you. So don't feel, you know, do just reach out, just shoot me an email and say, yeah, Maggie, I want to do that. And we'll figure that out. Okay. Marcy? Yeah.
I just wanted to pop in to Karen and say that little process that I introduced today is a really great way to ground yourself and to actually take a moment to drop that ball all the way down and then feel your feet at the same time. So that when I heard you say, you know, you did a talk at the city council or whatever it was, you know, to let yourself take up space through your body to your actual body. I had this experience once of feeling quite small. I was visiting New York City and my continuum teacher said, you know, I was complaining that like I couldn't even make my way down the sidewalk because the people were bouncing me about because I didn't think it was okay to take up space. And she said, just stick out your stomach. You know, nobody will know because it's like this much more when you just stick it out with your breath. And do you know that people got out of my way? They actually got out of my way. And all of a sudden there was like the Red Sea parted. And I was walking down the sidewalk in New York City with only that change of the awareness of being fully in my body in that moment. And so I just want to invite you to take that. And the other thing, we're big on mirror work at the Human Awareness Institute, and to take time every day to just look in your own eyes in the mirror and say, oh, you beautiful thing, you, or whatever comes out of your mouth, you're so brilliant, or, you know, I love you, and look in your eyes. We recommend people do that for 30 days, and if you miss a day, you have to start over. And I heard in last weekend, somebody that's been doing it for 10 years, and she is completely solid in her recognition of what she brings to the world. You too, Valencia. Yeah, like every time you look in the mirror, go, oh, you're
well,
so
beautiful. You know, fortunately, yeah, it's in my bones. I don't literally, you know, do it every day. Sometimes I do it or feel it, but that's how one way I got started, because I just felt like something was wrong with me. I'm not good enough. I'm ugly. You know, you name it. So that is how I had a hand mirror. I would say, I love myself. And when I first started, I would hear this little quiet voice saying, no, you don't, you liar. Yeah. I mean, so anyway, definitely.
Yeah.
I cannot look at myself in the mirror until recently. I couldn't, it was too painful. So I realized how powerful it must be if I couldn't even do it. Now I can. So now I'm ready for the next step, I guess.
5 minutes a day, Karen. 5 minutes a day for 30 days.
And I just want to finish by saying, I actually put myself out there so much that I'm too vulnerable, and I need to learn to protect myself and have that strength inside so that when I put myself out there, you know, for my community, that I'm supported and I'm okay. And I think that the supported both within myself, that I feel I'm coming from an authentic place and I'm really grounded and I know why I'm there, but then I'm going to need my community to help me stay there. And so I'll, I can't remember her name, Justina, Deborah, Justino, the one who did
Deborah Gusti, who was just here. Deborah Gusti, yeah.
But I've already started writing down my names of people that I'm going to make sure I find my tribe. I mean, I have my support that I don't try to do it by myself.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Yay. I'm just saying we have about 10 minutes left, and I'm just wondering with Diana and Julia, who haven't spoken yet, if either of you want to jump in here. I know Seja but she's already spoken, if that's okay. I just want to see and make space for either of you, if you want to, no pressure or anything, but I just want to say that so that we can have, and I guess, well, Donna's still here, but her camera's off, but we already talked to Donna. So thank you, Karen. Thank you for sharing. I think you started you stimulated a lot for a lot of us. So I don't know, do Diana or Julia, do either of you, Diana, you want to jump in for a minute? Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hi to everybody once again. And it was so interesting tonight to have three women that are in a women's group I've recently been in pop up. You know, out of these few people that are here, to have three people pop up was a miracle to me, just to reconnect with these women and discover that so many of us are on the same track. To see Marcy again was an extra special treat. And I probably joined this because of Marcy, this group, because when I saw her on the panel, I went, yeah, I didn't know anybody else on the panel, but I wanted to hear your, whatever you talked about, just to see your precious face and precious self was important to me. And I spoke that last night as well. So I attended every session except for a little bit of a few I missed today because my granddaughter was urging me outside. And I've learned something from everything. So I just want to say thank you so much. And that having spent 4 weeks in a women's group, which has now ended, which we did some high stuff as well, you know, face stroking online and to see how that worked out. But just to have the connection with women, which I haven't done since COVID started, this was the first, is important to me. So I need to think about what I'm getting from this that can be carried on in my future. We're actually starting to do live workshops again, my partner and I, in-person workshops, which has been very extremely powerful. And so I just want to say thank you for what I'm learning and thank you for being here in this family, in this group. Yeah.
Thank you, Diana. I'm glad you're here. And you know, there's no coincidences. You're obviously in alignment with the other women who showed up for you. So, or with you. Yeah, that's great. And Julia, do you want to pop in? Or like I said, you don't have to, but I just...
No. Yeah, I don't have really something to say except thank you, Maggie, and honor your amazing ability to just hold the space so beautifully. Thank you, really. It's been amazing. And I am just enjoying so much that you created this and you put it out there so generously for all of us to come together. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. It's just good to hear your voice. Okay. So Seja, what did you want to share or ask? Yeah. Oh, you're muted. Yeah.
I just wanted to toss out another awareness I have as far as what might be another topic in the future. I grew up in an era where women did not have sports in school. And as a result, perhaps, I didn't feel like we learned to work as a team. And the school was cliquish and women were competitive, especially in junior high and high school. And I'm not sure I've gotten past that. Karen reminded me of that because it's very hard for me to feel genuinely embraced by a group of women because I really guess I don't trust them. I just see there's where the word just popped out and I didn't even know that was the word till I said it, but I felt like less than always. And I would really like more, some emphasis at some time to hear something talked about in that area. Possibly it's changed more since women's teams and stuff like that have formed in schools, but it was not true when I was in school. And I know there's a bunch of us still around.
Well, I think that the women being competitive with each other has been well ingrained to us through patriarchy, mm-hmm. because that's how we also disempower women. And so the competitiveness, which is for the attention of men, right?
Yes.
Because if women don't have their own authority and their own power, their own way of having resources, right? And they're dependent on the men in their lives, whether that's their fathers or husbands or brothers or sons or whatever it is, right? Which is how patriarchy works, or one aspect of how it works, then women are pitted against each other for the attentions of those men to be able to have resources, right? And that's just built into the structure of patriarchy. You know, I mean, women were not, you know, in a lot of, I mean, I know European history and US history way better than I know the rest of the world, so I don't really know. But, you know, I mean, women couldn't own property, you know, women could not, you know, I mean, it wasn't, you know, like if you worked, you didn't even keep your own money. It's like went to your husband. And, you know, it's built into that structure. So we have that as a legacy. We have that as a legacy and we've had it for a long time. And I even think about like
I don't know quite what you, when you're talking about, like, but I know, like, with my mom who came of age in the 50s, she, you know, they were highly competitive with each other for their MRS degree, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was a big evolution for my mother to become a feminist and to spend a lot of time with women in the 70s. And to, you know, she had been a part of the League of Women Voters before that, but I mean, it was like, but feminism just did something really different. Now, but you know, that hasn't cured us of all of this, right? Because even inside of feminism, there's ways that women compete with each other. There's ways that we're not sensitive to each other. Mm-hmm. There's ways that we recreate dominant ways of being with each other. You know, I mean, we're still really, really learning a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate what you're saying in terms of saying, well, we didn't have sports. And that's probably, you know, part of it. But I don't, but it's way older and way deeper than that, you know,
yes.
It's just, you know, and then women who had enough education and had the path to enter into white collar jobs, you know, and then had to, you know, become like men. I mean, Gloria Steinem even said, we're becoming the men we wanted to marry. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was in the 80s. And it was, and so we're, you know, it's a developmental process for us to find our ways through it to empowerment, you know, and what is the right use of power and what really is power and where is our leadership and how, and then, and that's why collaboration, right? Mutually beneficial mm-hmm. collaborations, because you can have collaborations that are not mutually beneficial and women have gotten forced into those a lot. And so, you know, we're all kind of exploring this and I appreciate you bringing it up because I think the competitiveness is still, it still rears its head and amazes me sometimes while I go, wow, look at that. That was just, you know, or I'll feel it in myself. You know, I'll be like, oh, I just got really competitive about that. It's like, oh, wow. Okay. Let me just like, yeah. So I think it is a really good topic for us to explore.
So it'd be about being empowered or disempowered. And then underlying that would be fear, the fear of not getting what we want because we can, different people competing for the same thing.
Well, and that's based in scarcity, right? Because if there is really enough for everyone,
right.
And who was talking about enoughness yesterday? It was Karen, the human design specialist, she was talking about enoughness. It's like if we really live in a state of enoughness and we have the faith that what we need is going to be provided to us, even if we can't see how it's coming, right? Then we don't have to have this fear that somebody else is going to get this and we're not going to get ours.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing. And so, because patriarchy is based in scarcity.
Yeah.
I mean, that's its foundation. At least in Western culture, again, I don't have a global perspective, but in Western culture, which I know quite well, it's definitely based in scarcity, right? And it's this idea, I mean, what was it, that thing that came out, I don't know how many years ago it was, but there was this thing like, you know, you're more likely to die in a plane crash than to get married after the age of 40 or something. Does any of you remember that? Marcy, do you remember? Like some of you might be old enough.
It was like that, yeah.
What? It's like, oh, there's nobody to marry after you're 40 or something, you know, it was just like some kind of crazy statistic, which probably wasn't even true, but that's a scare, right? That we'll talk about fear, right? Generating fear. So anyway, I obviously could go on about that.
But thank you. I appreciate it.
But you started something there, which I really appreciate. And I'll just say that this conversation has really stimulated a desire in me and I think an action I'm going to take, which I hope I'll be able to do by email tomorrow morning, but which is to actually put out a little Google form and ask y'all, what do you want next? Like, where are you at? You know, share with me about what your experience has been like. You know, Seja, you just mentioned, I'd love to address this matter of competitiveness among women, right? And the fear that we have around that. So topics that you might have, You know, Karen, you're saying what's next for me. Someone else was, I think Lisa earlier was saying, I love this, you know, what's going to be the next thing. So I want to hear from you, and I'll send out a form that you can, you know, and please do tell me, because like I said, I'm really exploring what's next, right? I mean, I can come up with my own idea, but it's just my idea, you know? And so I wanna hear from all of you. So we're coming right up on 5:30. So I'm wondering, does anyone have a burning share that they want to express as we're winding up here?
Sending y'all love.
Mm-hmm. Yay. All right. Well, let's all take a big breath together. Mm-hmm. Reach your arms up, wiggle your body. Feel your pelvic floor, feel your pelvic bowl, feel your womb of all great life. Yay. And if you were there for me for Ego Eradicator in our restore session, you can do that for yourself. It's great after having something like this, because it'll just help clear out, you know, any stagnation that you have and help get you ready for your evening. And I so appreciate you all being here and your deep shares and your presence. I just felt you all really, really present, like really being here. You know, you weren't off there, whatever, doing your email while you were here. You're all here. I could totally feel it. Yeah. Could you all feel that too? Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Can I ask him just what you just mentioned, that I did have to miss the Ego Eradicator. Is that its own little separate presentation that I can tune into?
I didn't know if I was going to post them or not. Would you like that? Would you guys like me to post that Ego Eradicator? That it's a little like 10, 15 minute. You want me to do that? All right. I'll ask. Hopefully it didn't get deleted. I don't think so. We'll see. But yeah, and I, and we'll do something again tomorrow. I could always do it again tomorrow if it did get deleted, maybe I'll do it again. Cause it's, you can never do Ego Eradicator too much. It's so good. So good. So, all right. I love you all. Thank you so much. And, I hope I'll get to see you tomorrow, and our 4 o'clock session will be somewhat of sharing, but there's also going to be some kind of closing ceremony feeling to it. So I hope that you can come to that if you can. All right.
Can I show you what my granddaughter does? She makes a heart and then she goes whoosh, like love out in the world.
What a beautiful closing. Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you.
All right. Love you all. All right. Hope to see you tomorrow. Bye for now.